Chapter 15. Her neck, that she lost her self-restraint. But she lost it then, and wept over him. Don't cry, don't cry. I am satisfied to go, Liz. I am satisfied to go. I know you send me away for my good. Apostrophe, oh, Charlie, Charlie, heaven above us knows I do. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, yes. Don't mind what I said. Don't remember it. Kiss me. Apostrophe, after a silence, she loosed him, to dry her eyes and regain her strong quiet influence. Now listen, Charlie dear. We both know it must be done, and I alone know there is good reason for its being done at once. Go straight to the school, and say that you and I agreed upon it, that we can't overcome father's opposition, that father will never trouble him, but will never take you back. You are a credit to the school, and you will be a greater credit to it yet, and they will help you to get a living. Show what clothes you have brought, and what money, and say that I will send some more money. If I can get some in no other way, I will ask a little help of those two gentlemen who came here that night. Apostrophe, I say. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried her brother, quickly. Don't you have it of that chap that took hold of me by the chin? Don't you have it of that Rayburn one? Apostrophe, apostrophe, perhaps a slight additional tinge of red flushed up into her face and brow, as with a nod she laid a hand upon his lips, to keep him silently attentive. And above all things mind this, Charlie. Be sure you always speak well of father. Be sure you always give father his full due. You can't deny that, because father has no learning himself, he is set against it in you. But favor nothing else against him, and be sure you say as you know that your sister is devoted to him. And if you should ever happen to hear anything said against father that is new to you, it will not be true. Remember, Charlie, it will not be true. Apostrophe, the boy looked at her with some doubt and surprise, but she went on again without heeding it. Above all things remember, it will not be true. I have nothing more to say, Charlie dear, except, be good, and get learning, and only think of some things in the old life here, as if you had dreamed them in a dream last night. Goodbye, my darling. Apostrophe, though so young, she infused in these parting words a love that was far more like a mother's than a sister's, and before which the boy was quite bowed down. After holding her to his breast with a passionate cry, he took up his bundle and darted out at the door, with an arm across his eyes. The white face of the winter day came sluggishly on, veiled in a frosty mist, and the shadowy ships in the river slowly changed to black substances, and the sun, blood-red on the eastern marshes behind dark masts and yards, seemed filled with the ruins of a forest that had set on fire. Lizzie, looking for her father, saw him coming, and stood upon the causeway, that he might see her. He had nothing with him but his boat, and came on apace. A knot of those amphibious human creatures who appear to have some mysterious power of extracting a subsistence out of tidal water by looking at it, were gathered together about the causeway. As her father's boat grounded, they became contemplative of the mud, and dispersed themselves. She saw that the mute avoidance had begun. Gaffer saw it too, insofar as that he was moved, when he set foot on shore, to stare around him. But, he promptly set to work to haul up his boat, and make her fast, and take the sculls and rudder and rope out of her. Carrying these with Lizzie's aid, he passed up to his dwelling. Sit close to the fire, father, dear, while I cook your breakfast. It's all ready for cooking, and only been waiting for you. You must be frozen. Apostrophe, well, Lizzie, I ain't of a glow, that's certain. And my hands seem nailed through to the skulls. See how dead they are. Apostrophe, something suggestive in their color, and perhaps in her face, struck him as he held them up. He turned his shoulder, and held them down to the fire. You were not out in the perishing night, I hope, father? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, my dear. Lay aboard a barge, by a blazing coal fire. Where's that boy? apostrophe apostrophe, there's a drop of brandy for your tea. Father, if you will put it in while I turn this bit of meat. If the river was to get frozen, there would be a deal of distress, wouldn't there, father? Apostrophe apostrophe, ah. There's always enough of that, apostrophe said Gaffer, dropping the liquor into his cup from a squat black bottle, and dropping it slowly, that it might seem more. Distress is forever a going about, like sudden he airing that boy up yet? Apostrophe apostrophe, the meat's ready now, father. Eat it while it's hot and comfortable. After you have finished, we'll turn round to the fire and talk. Apostrophe, but, he perceived that he was evaded, and, having thrown a hasty angry glance towards the bunk, plucked at a corner of her apron and asked, what's gone with that boy? Apostrophe, apostrophe, father, if you'll begin your breakfast, I'll sit by and tell you. Apostrophe, he looked at her, stirred his tea, and took two or three gulps, then cut at his piece of hot steak with his case knife, and said, eating. Now then. What's gone with that boy? Apostrophe, don't be angry, dear. It seems, father, that he has quite a gift of learning. Apostrophe, a natural young beggar. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the parent, shaking his knife in the air. And that having this gift, and not being equally good at other things, he has made shift to get some schooling. Apostrophe, a natural young beggar. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the parent again, with his former action. Apostrophe, and that knowing you have nothing to spare, father, and not wishing to be a burden on you, he gradually made up his mind to go seek his fortune out of learning. He went away this morning, father, and he cried very much at going, and he hoped you would forgive him. Apostrophe, let him never come a nigh me to ask me my forgiveness, apostrophe said the father, again emphasizing his words with the knife. Let him never come within sight of my eyes, nor yet within reach of my arm. His own father ain't good enough for him. He's disowned his own father. His own father therefore, disowns him forever and ever, as a natural young beggar. Apostrophe, he had pushed away his plate. With the natural need of a strong rough man in anger, to do something forcible, he now clutched his knife overhand, and struck downward with it at the end of every succeeding sentence. As he would have struck with his own clenched fist, if there had chanced to be nothing in it. He's welcome to go. He's more welcome to go than to stay. But let him never come back. Let him never put his head inside that door. And let you never speak a word more in his favor, or you will disown your own father, likewise, and what your father says of him, he'll have to come to say of you. Now I see why the men yonder held aloof from me. They says to one another, here comes the man as ain't good enough for his own son. Lizzie. Apostrophe, but, she stopped him with a cry. Looking at her he saw her, with a face quite strange to him, shrinking back against the wall, with her hands before her eyes. Father, don't. I can't bear to see you striking with it. Put it down. Apostrophe, he looked at the knife, but in his astonishment still held it. Father, it's too horrible. Oh, put it down, put it down. Apostrophe, confounded by her appearance and exclamation, he tossed it away, and stood up with his open hands held out before him. What's come to you, Liz? Can you think I would strike at you with a knife? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, father, no, you would never hurt me. Apostrophe, what should I hurt? Apostrophe, apostrophe, nothing, dear father. On my knees, I am certain, in my heart and soul I am certain, nothing. But it was too dreadful to bear, for it looked apostrophe her hands covering her face again. Oh, it looked apostrophe, what did it look like? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the recollection of his murderous figure, combining with her trial of last night, and her trial of the morning, caused her to drop at his feet, without having answered. He had never seen her so before. He raised her with the utmost tenderness, calling her the best of daughters, and my poor pretty creeter, and laid her head upon his knee, and tried to restore her. But failing, he laid her head gently down again, got a pillow, and placed it under her dark hair, and sought on the table for a spoonful of brandy. There being none left, he hurriedly caught up the empty bottle, and ran out at the door. He returned as hurriedly as he had gone, with the bottle still empty. He kneeled down by her, took her head on his arm, and moistened her lips with a little water into which he dipped his fingers, saying, fiercely, as he looked around, "Now over this shoulder, now over that. Have we got a pest in the house? Is there some deadly sticking to my clothes? What's let loose upon us? Who loosed it?" Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.